Ezekiel was a prophet of God who went into captivity with some of the people of Judah. The Babylonians were the great enemy of Judah or Israel, and they came and attacked and took away lots of them to live in Babylon, and they put them in camps to start with. And Ezekiel was taken back to, or was taken to Babylon, and he had lots of visions from God, which showed him that although it all looked pretty bad for God's people at that time, it wouldn't stay like that, and that actually God's people would be revived by God's Spirit and would come back to the land and restore the rulership of God there. Now, unfortunately, although God made it possible for the exiles, as they're called, the captives, to go back, most of them in the end chose to remain where they were in Babylon and Persia. And those who did go back weren't very enthusiastic for what God wanted them to do. And so these prophecies that Ezekiel gave are going to come true in our days. And we call our times the last days because we do really believe that Jesus is going to come soon. And all these Old Testament prophecies are then going to be fulfilled. So he sees the vision we're going to talk about today, which is the vision of a valley of dry bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, says Ezekiel, and he brought me out in the spirit and set me down in the middle of a valley that was full of bones, and he made me walk all around, and there were very many in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Lord, you know. He said to me again, Prophesy over these bones and tell them, You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord Yahweh to these bones, I will cause spirit or breath to enter into you, and you will live. I will put flesh on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, or spirit, and you will live, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And then there was a noise and an earthquake, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I saw flesh and skin come up on them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, Prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and tell the wind, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, breath or spirit, and breathe on these dead, that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, a very great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house or family of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We're totally cut off. That's like the Jews sitting there by the rivers of Babylon. You remember what the psalm said, By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept, we cried, when we remembered Zion, the temple in Jerusalem. And those who carried us away captive mocked us, and they asked us to sing one of the songs of Zion, one of the temple songs. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And they thought, Our hope is lost, we have no hope. But the message of the prophets was that Israel does have hope. Remember when Paul in the New Testament was on trial for his life, he said, I'm bound with these chains for the hope of Israel. This is the real hope, the hope of the kingdom. That Israel will one day be revived, will have the Spirit of God put in them, and come back to life. So, this vision that he sees, this prophecy of the dry bones in the valley all coming together, this means that God's people Israel are one day going to come back together and stand up, with the Spirit of God making them alive. Now, it could simply be talking about the resurrection of the dead when Jesus comes back. But it's also possible that it talks about the way that Israel, the Jewish people, did not have their own kingdom of Israel or state of Israel pretty well since, well, for a couple of thousand years. And in the last 200 years, the Jews have begun to come back to the land of Israel, and they have become a relatively large state or republic there. And so that seems significant. But the big emphasis is that God will put his spirit in them, and they will arise a great army. And so the main fulfillment is going to be when the dry bones of Israel, with no spiritual life in them, many of them don't believe in Jesus, that they will come alive and they will accept God and they will accept the Lord Jesus as God's Son. And this will all be because of the word of prophecy. And Ezekiel saw this so long ago. Now, it could have happened really to those depressed captives who were sitting by the rivers of Babylon with Ezekiel at this time, saying that our hope is lost, we have no hope of Israel, we're totally cut off. But they didn't really want it. It's funny that some people, many of us, sort of prefer to go on being depressed and looking at the negative side, because it's actually easier to do that than to accept the wonderful hope that God has worked out for us. So, God goes on with Ezekiel. He says, prophesy and tell them, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. So you see, the resurrection of the dead, in one form or another, has always been a big part of God's message. And you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, my people, and caused you to come up out of your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and done it. He goes on to say that then they will no more be two nations. You remember how they were divided into the 10-tribe kingdom of Israel and the 2-tribe kingdom of Judah. That will be no more. They will all be united. And so Ezekiel is told to take a stick and to write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then he takes another stick and he writes on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Join them yourself one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. This was to show how God was going to make perfect unity amongst his people when this happens. And if we worry or are disappointed at the fact that we always seem to have someone we don't get on with, even amongst the people of God, well, in the end, when all these things happen, we will all be joined together in this perfect unity. Of course, we should be like that now. And so he goes on, and I will make a covenant, a promise of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them, multiply them, and will set my sanctuary, the place of my worship, in their midst forever. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. They're actually the words that are right at the end of the New Testament in the book of Revelation, that God himself will be with his people, and he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And he shall be our God, and we shall forever be his people. Now, of course, all this starts now, that we also can be brought alive by God's Spirit if we are open to his movement in this life. But, of course, the great fulfillment is, as he says, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and will bring you into the land of Israel. So the big fulfillment is when Jesus returns, and there's the resurrection of the dead, and those dry bones come back together. So let's not be like the children of Israel sitting by the rivers of Babylon, all depressed, thinking we have no hope, our hope is lost, we're totally cut off. Because if we're baptized into Jesus and we are truly, fully God's people, we have a wonderful hope, we really do, of the resurrection of the dead and forever being God's people.